Welcome to the Texas Values Report. This is Jonathan Sines. Great to be with you on a Saturday afternoon in the great state of Texas. Hope that you're enjoying your weekend. Like many weeks, there has been a lot going on in the state of Texas this week. Obviously, we're in finishing up early voting. Election day is next week on Tuesday. Early voting continues. If people want to get more information about our work, they can go to txvalues.org. And there's also a great website for voters information called freevotersguide.com, where you can go to and find out your elected officials to vote for at the federal level, at the state level. Great information on that website. If you've been a part of our radio program before, if you listened before, you know we talk about the issues of faith, family, and freedom, particularly as it pertains to the state of Texas. We do that, and we're involved in that work in the legislature, the courts, in the media. But oftentimes we will talk about things that happen outside of our state because, as you know, the state of Texas is so important to the rest of the country that oftentimes the work we're involved in impacts other parts of the country and can impact D.C. as well. A lot of people want to know what's happening in the state of Texas and the influence that we have. We're excited today, though. We've got a fantastic guest on the show with us today that's here for the first time. We're excited about talking to him because we're going to talk to him about his background, his work, and then we're going to talk about how he's involved in an event that we're having later this year. So our guest today is the well-known actor, Kevin Sorbo. He has been involved in many different films over his acting career, and one of those is probably the most well-known is Hercules series that was on television for 6 years, was at one time one of the most widely watched TV programs in the world. He hails from the state of Minnesota, had his studies there at the University of Minnesota, also had a brief stop and some time in Dallas in the state of Texas. We'll ask him to maybe elaborate a little bit more on that. We always love to hear where our guests from other parts of the country have a connection with the state of Texas. But one of the things that many of our listeners probably remember the star actor Kevin Sorbo from is the movie God's Not Dead. So we'll let him talk a little bit about that. So welcome to the Texas Values Report, Kevin Sorbo.
Good to be here. I always love to get back there. I've shot a lot of movies in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and down there in Austin as well. So I've probably spent about over close to 2.5 years of my life in your state. So,
well, we hope that it had a positive impact on you. So,
it did. I keep telling my wife that we got to move there because I'll get a 13.5% raise just getting the heck out of California here. So,
that's exactly.
You got no state tax. They kill us here.
Well, no, and you're not the only one that feels that way. I mean, some of the stats that are out there suggest that 1,300 people a day are moving to Texas. It's quite interesting. And so, you know, Kevin, so many of our listeners are strong Christian conservatives. Many of them do like to see films that are faith-based. You have a background with the Hercules series, but then more recently, you've done a lot of films that are faith-based. The God's Not Dead movie in 2014 was the number one independent movie of that year, and pretty important stuff. You've got a book out there that talks a little bit about some of your background. I mean, you've lived a very interesting life and a very relevant life that a lot of people have seen. I'm really excited about the way that you talk about your Christian faith, the way you share about it in an environment, particularly like Hollywood, where it's not always is friendly. So tell us a little bit about some projects you're working on now, but how those things in more recent years in the faith-based films have mattered to you and mattered to other people.
Yeah, Hollywood loves me. Anyway, I know you talked about Hercules. I'm very proud of that series, 7 years. And actually, it did pass Baywatch as the most watched TV show in the world. I got to get that plug in because I was part of something that was pretty cool. And then I got to get a plug for Andromeda. I'm sorry, there are Andromeda fans out there. I did that for 5 years. Yeah. I don't discount 5 years of 80-hour weeks for me. That was the first show Gene Roddenberry ever created after Star Trek way back in 1969. I shot that up in Vancouver, British Columbia. You mentioned God's Not Dead, but there's a movie that I did with the same company, PureFlix, a couple years before God's Not Dead. It's called What If, and I highly recommend your audience to see What If. I think What If's even a better movie. And I think PureFlix just didn't have the right marketing plan to get that out there at the time, but it's done very well in word of mouth. It stars John Ratzenberger, Christy Swanson, Debbie Ryan from the Disney Channel. I think people really enjoy that. And as far as my latest work, I just finished shooting a movie up in Columbus, Ohio, called The Reliant. It'll come out next year. It deals with pretty much what's been going on the last 8-9 years in America, with all this printing of money. It deals with the economic collapse of America and all the problems that will ensue with that. So it's kind of an action drama. And then before that, I just wrapped directing and acting in a movie called Let There Be Light, which is a very heavy faith-based drama that won't come out till next year. But it's a great script. Actually, my wife wrote it along with Dan Gordon. People would know Dan Gordon from his other scripts. He was actually the showrunner and head writer on Michael Landon's series, Highway to Heaven. And he also wrote Wide Earp, Kevin Costner. He wrote The Hurricane with Denzel Washington. He's a wonderful writer. And I'm really looking forward to that coming out. And I'm very proud of that one. I just finished my edit on it, so it's going to be probably another couple months to get all the bells and whistles finished on it. But you'll have to wait till next year to see Let There Be Light.
Well, that sounds fantastic. What a great group of people you're working with, some very interesting projects. You know, you touched on your wife. Tell us a little bit about your family, Kevin. I mean, obviously, you're out front. People see you're, you know, big. As your bio says, you're a demigod, a Hulk guy. I mean, you know, I'm sure you get a lot of personal attention and people recognize you. But tell us about your family.
You know, I actually met my wife on the set of Hercules. It was every 2 weeks they sent a beautiful woman for me to work with. So it was a great dating service for me. season five, I met my wife. And it was pretty instantaneous between the two of us. We've been married 18 years now. We have 3 kids. My boys are 15 and 12. My little girl just turned 11. And, you know, we homeschool for a number of reasons, the main one being that California is the worst public educated state in America. We rank 50th, so we're very proud of being the worst. And on top of that, I travel quite a bit. I do a lot of independent movies. I mean, since Andromeda finished in 2005, I've shot 51 movies. So I'm on the road a lot. So they travel with me and they grow up, pretty much have been growing up on movie sets. But they're great kids. They make me laugh every day. I love the homeschooling aspect because I get to spend a lot of time with them. And my wife just wrote a book. People, it'd be great stocking stuffer. It's called They're Your Kids. And she was just on Fox recently promoting it on Fox and Friends. And it deals with the pros of homeschooling and the educational system. So our government has just gotten to a point where they want to celebrate mediocrity and teach our kids at the lowest common denominator.
Well, you know, look, homeschooling's no easy task. I mean, we have a lot of friends and folks that we work with that are homeschoolers. A lot of times we do work to support their rights when sometimes they're challenged for parental rights issues. But, you know, it's interesting because some of the talk that's been around our state and other parts of the country are people that are thinking more about homeschooling because some of the stuff that's happening in our public schools and other places. I know you've touched on a lot of this or a little bit, you know, in some of your commentary and some interviews you've been in where you see people in North Carolina. We saw this here in Texas. We see the Obama administration trying to push policies that allow boys into girls' bathrooms and locker rooms. And you wonder, you know, what is going on? How are these things happening? And, you know, and so it's another one of those things that make people question having their kids in public school.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, you know, when Target said that anybody can go in any bathroom they feel like going into, they went from one quarter to the next with a $5 billion hit in sales. So I hope it was worth it to the stockholders to take a $5 billion hit just to allow anybody to go in any bathroom they feel like. And, you know, obviously they've already arrested some pedophiles, and the problems that have arisen from that are quite evident. So, you know, the battle's there. The battle's going to go on. And it's just weird that, you know, the silent majority is starting to rumble a little bit more, and I think they need to wake up a little bit more. And this country was founded on Judeo-Christian values, and we've gone completely away from that. When Thomas Jefferson, you know, brought in the separation of church and state, he meant that he didn't want any of government involved in church affairs. And look what we've done over the last 50 years. You know, the media and everybody else has done a wonderful job of switching the meaning of that around. And, you know, the Bible used to be the textbook in schools. Now we've taken God out of our schools, and look at the problems we have in our schools. And this whole thing about, you know, the concern about the celebration of mediocrity, like I said, and everybody gets a trophy for participating. Okay, when are you going to learn that competition is a good thing? I mean, I always bring up the thing about Tiger Woods when he came on the scene. Well, shame on him for being such a good golfer. All the other golfers feel really bad when they don't win a tournament, though. So they should all get a trophy and give them all $1 million so they don't feel bad. Tom Cruise makes $20 million a movie. I don't. Where's my $20 million? You know, It's the whole idea about having somebody do so well in something is to motivate you to want to do better. Competition is a good thing, and we got to teach our kids that instead of worrying about these little safe zones they want to go into.
Well, and you talk a little bit about that, right? I mean, about principles that matter. And you think about where kids learn some of these things. And so, you know, the film that you made in 2014, God's Not Dead, talked about this intersection on college campuses or the discussion about whether there was an existence of God. You played a professor that tried to that was involved in this challenge with a student to prove the existence of God. I mean, and as we know, that the script was written from particular accounts with court cases. As a matter of fact, I got a little information for you, Kevin. In the credits of that movie, there's a reference to a court case called Pro-Life Cougars versus the University of Houston, which is the case that I was involved in. I was a student leading a pro-life group, and they were trying to keep us from having our rights and our events on campus. And I experienced some of that, trying to stand up for this group and having my friends leave me, having the university turn against me. And so the hostility in the environment that so many of our young people are on college campuses as well is not very friendly, to say the least.
Oh, yeah, and these are the same groups that cry for freedom of speech, but they don't allow anybody else that freedom of speech. It's freedom of speech as long as you agree with what I say. And it's just like, you know, and all these groups too, they're the same ones who scream for tolerance, yet they have zero tolerance themselves. I mean, the hypocrisy is just magnified. It's just so, it's almost comical to the point of just being ridiculous. And I have a script right now called The Incorrect Man that we're trying to raise money for. So if there's anybody out there that wants to invest, let me know, because this really attacks the ridiculousness of political correctness, which I think, along with apathy, are the two biggest things that are killing America today. And we got to fight it. We have to fight it. I mean, in the end of God's Not Dead, we show 28 court cases of the reality of college professors pushing their non-belief on other students and punishing students for having a belief in God. You know, unless we're not sending our kids to school to hear the professor's religious point of view. So why don't they just stick to whatever topic they're supposed to be teaching? But there's so much anger within that establishment. Don't you find it amazing that they're so angry about something they don't believe in? I mean, I find that amazing to me. There's things I don't believe in. I don't get upset about if somebody else believes in it.
Well, you bring up a really great point. On December 1st, we're going to be having an event in Dallas. You go to our website, txvalues.org. You'll get to see Kevin in person. If you never met Kevin Sorbo, I've never met you, Kevin. Hey, we're on the radio together. I'm looking forward to that. You're going to be in Dallas, Texas with us. It's going to be exciting. He will share his message of the work he's done, the witness that he has as a Christian in Hollywood, the impact that he's seen it had on other people's lives, and why it's important to stand up for what you believe in, why it's important on the issues of faith, family, and freedom to be out there engaging people. So many times people don't know this information. They're not aware of what their rights are. And so Kevin is going to bring it that night, December 1st. It's a Thursday night. You can get tickets at txvalues.org and hear more about his story. And I think you've got also, that's in your book, and you've talked a little bit about some personal experiences you've had where you've come face-to-face with challenges and you've been there relying on the strength of God.
Yeah, I have a book out there called True Strength, where at the during the season 5 of Hercules, I was having all kinds of problems with my left arm and shoulder. I couldn't figure what was going on. Before I was able to get a full diagnosis of what it was, it turned out to be an aneurysm that opened up and sent hundreds of clots in my arm. But unfortunately, 3 of those clots went in my brain. I suffered 3 strokes. So the book deals with, hitting that roadblock in your life. I mean, here I was, I'm 6'3". When I was doing Hercules, I was 230 pounds, 7% body fat. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I'm a good eater. I had everything opposite of what most people have when they get strokes. So I had a big backtrack to my life and a big rude awakening, so to speak. And my book really talks about how do you overcome those things in your life and how do you not let other people set your limitations, certainly yourself.
Well, we are excited about your witness. I'm glad to see you survived that, I'm sure, very challenging time, but obviously an opportunity to lean more on God and to share it with more people, because sometimes people will see people that have been successful, someone like yourself that physically is of great strength, and they may not realize that they can be just as vulnerable at times. And so, Kevin, thank you so much for being a guest on our show today. We look forward to seeing you on December 1st. In the flesh, in person, at our Texas Faith, Family, and Freedom Gala up in Dallas. You can go to txvalues.org to see more about that. Kevin Sorbo has been our guest today on the Texas Values Report. Thank you, Kevin.
My pleasure. Hope to, I'll see you soon. There you go.
All right, brother. We look forward to seeing you in Dallas.
All right, take care.
Well, good stuff. Great to have Kevin on. Boy, he knows these topics well. I mean, the guy can cover a lot of range. He's been engaged with Hollywood. I'm sure he's seen so many things happen that, you know, are eye-opening. But then he's faced some challenges in his own life that he's had to overcome. So many things that you can identify with. And I think that our listeners will as well. And someone who's not afraid as a Christian to bring his opinions out in public. So we've got another great guest on the show today, too, that I want to bring in to talk about something that's going on right now in the state of Texas and throughout the country. Our next guest is our friend Sean Carney, who I actually got to see in person the other day while he was in Texas for a little bus tour, a little bus stop that he was involved in. And we had actually run into each other probably, I don't know, it's been months, maybe a year or so, the last time we'd seen each other. But I got to catch him for just a couple of minutes, and I wanted him to come on today to talk a little bit about the effort that he's involved in, the United Bus Tour that's going on right now that relates to the issue of 40 Days for Life that we're also in the midst of, which is a tremendous effort that actually started here in the state of Texas and really gives people an opportunity to pray at abortion clinics during 40 days. Sean is a longtime pro, if you will, in the pro-life movement. He's been involved. He's been an advocate for many years. He's an executive director and volunteered at one time for the Coalition for Life. He's been involved and spoke to many different churches, probably hundreds of churches, and has a background in Texas, but across the country on the pro-life movement. So, Sean, welcome to the Texas Values Report.
Hey, Jonathan. How are you today? It's good to be with you.
I'm doing great. Tell us a little bit about what's going on right now. I've talked about the 40 Days for Life movement several times on the show. Bring us up to date where we are in the 40 Days for Life movement as far as days, and tell us what's going on with the bus tour.
Well, we're in the midst of the 40 Days for Life campaign. It ends on November the 6th, next week. And it's just been fantastic. You know, over the summer, we looked at the state of our culture, and we decided there's so many problems right now in our culture. The family is under attack. We see the toxic political climate that we're in the midst of. And so we really had a goal to have the largest 40 Days for Life campaign ever, to have more cities than we've ever had, and to have a campaign in every state. And we had that for the first time. We have 40 Days for Life campaigns in all 50 states. There are 367 cities that are right now holding peaceful vigils outside of abortion facilities where they are. So then we decided once we got all 50 states that we would go to all 50 states. So a generous donor gave us a bus, and we wrapped it, and it has been touring since the start of this fall's campaign, which was back September 28th. It started on the steps of the Supreme Court, and it has gone to now 43 states over these last 35 or 32 days. So it's been phenomenal, and we're excited. The bus right now is in Florida, and it was good to see you when the bus came to Austin. And, you know, we're just seeing so many new people get involved in the pro-life movement for the very first time, and it's phenomenal to see.
No, that's great. You know, and I got to sign the bus. That was a neat thing that y'all were doing, and that leads me to my question or maybe to a point for you. Tell our listeners what that means. You said the bus was wrapped. Tell them what that means.
Yeah, the bus is wrapped. We had a graphic put on for with our, you know, the 40 Days for Life logo, and we're calling it the United Tour, standing, you know, together in prayer and fasting for an end to abortion for 40 days. And so the bus is beautiful. I mean, it looks great driving down the road. It's amazing to see people will honk at you. They'll come up when we're filling the bus up with gas, and they'll just say, you know, I'm so thankful that this is going on. My daughter had an abortion, or I paid for my girlfriend to have an abortion. People just share their testimony when they see the bus. And you know, it's been great. You know, the bus started, as I mentioned, in Washington, D.C., and a lot of the New England and New York locations, the Planned Parenthood locations, would just close for the day when we scheduled the visit. And, you know, we'd have 200 or 300 people outside praying all day when the bus was there. And so it's great to see the reaction of that. Our country certainly needs prayer, And we need God. And you know, we see so much going on in our culture right now, and we're trying to fill a void that only He can fill.
No, that's true. That is absolutely true. And you know, I was with a friend of ours earlier this week. You may recall we filed a brief with the U.S. Supreme Court on the HB2 case from Texas about regulation of abortion clinics. And ours was on behalf of a filmmaker in the documentary film 3801 Lancaster about the awful things that happened in Kermit Gosnell's abortion clinic up in Pennsylvania. And I was thinking about this, and you and I talked about this, how certainly disappointed about the court ruling and that at the U.S. Supreme Court on that issue, that Texas law. But still seeing that even though that was a concern and a disappointment, that the activism and the interest on people being involved in the pro-life movement just continues to grow, which I'm very encouraged by.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, years ago, Planned Parenthood put all their eggs in the political basket, and that has worked for them to some degree. And the HB2 decision certainly shows how much judicial appointments matter, that we're not allowed to regulate the abortion industry in our own state. Yet, even with that, at the local level, they're hurting. You know, Planned Parenthood has been consolidating. They've been closing abortion facilities left and right the last 4 years. We've seen record amounts of abortion facilities closed. I think 2013, 87 abortion facilities closed in 1 year, the most in any year since Roe v. Wade legalized abortion. So we see the record number of closures, and we see the growth of pregnancy resource centers across the country. They now number abortion providers 5 to 1. But it's the activism. You know, there is no local reproductive rights activist movement at all. I mean, it's just nowhere to be found, and yet the pro-life movement continues to get younger, it continues to get more motivated, and it continues to grow despite over 4 decades of legalized abortion. And 40 Days for Life is a great example of that. You know, we have hundreds of leaders throughout the country and in the world. We're in 40 different countries. And, 30% of our local leaders are women that have actually had an abortion. And so, you know, we're really a movement of converts, and that's why you see the movement grow. And at the local level, you don't see that with Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry.
Well, look, I mean, some of the work that continues to be done and the growth of it is tremendous. And you look at the impact that it's having on other people. And I was discussing that with someone over the weekend, how with time you've seen more and more women coming forward that have suffered through an abortion or however they term it, that's been a part of their life and history. And the strength and courage it takes to come forward and talk about that and to admit that, you know, I can only imagine what that's like.
It's awesome.
And it's so powerful.
It is. And it's powerful, and it challenges us, you know, as men to do more. It certainly did in college when I heard that. And you know, nobody grows up wanting an abortion. Nobody grows up wanting to work in the abortion industry. It's not something you talk about on career day. And you know, we've had 133 abortion facility workers have a change of heart and leave their job. Abby Johnson, who ran the Planned Parenthood in Bryan, walked right into my office, you know, after her conversion in 2009. And that's a phenomenal thing to see. And that's another problem of that's one of the reasons, too. I mentioned, you know, the bus has been going to places. Planned Parenthood used to be much more aggressive to 40 Days for Life. They'd send their workers out, sort of like look to see what we were saying, and they'd go to events and see what we were saying. But they don't do that a lot. When we have large events and prayer vigils in front of abortion facilities, they often close, and they discourage their workers from coming out and listening, because a lot of times when those workers strike up a dialogue or build a relationship with one of our leaders or volunteers, they often leave. You know, we've had 3 abortion facility workers quit their jobs just during this 40 Days for Life campaign. And so, you know, we haven't gotten over this, you know, despite 40 years, because abortion is the most unnatural and the most barbaric act that we have to offer as a nation. And that's why we see the conversion rate moving in only one direction.
Well, I think that's important, the point you made about Planned Parenthood not showing up or closing their facilities. You know, so oftentimes I feel like in work that matters and that's meaningful, our opposition can sometimes strike back at us early in a very overwhelming way. And the expectation is, okay, if we just bring enough against them, they'll go away or they'll get, you know, scared or whatever. I mean, there were a lot of court decisions in the late 80s that related to this intersection of people praying or you know, being at, near an abortion clinic. There was one in the 90s that went up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Excuse me. All kinds of activity on this issue. And you haven't seen much of that lately. And you've seen – but what you've seen is the movement endure, right? And sometimes it can be so important to not allow yourself – to back off just because there's that initial pushback that, you know, whether we like it or not, some things, you know, they're only going to happen over time. And that in the pro-life movement is a movement that continues to develop and get stronger with time.
That's exactly right. And that's why our foundation has to be prayer. I mean, that's our fuel. And that's what has sustained, not just sustained the pro-life movement, but allowed it to grow. And there's been a lot of setbacks. There's been a lot of persecution, and yet it continues to grow. And that's one of the, a couple of years ago, the ACLU had a conference, and they said that 40 Days for Life was one of the greatest threats to choice in America right now. And the logic behind that was, you know, to get rid of that, to get rid of 40 Days for Life, you'd have to get rid of freedom of speech. And thank God we live in a nation where we can publicly assemble, we can go out, and we can pray on the sidewalks, and we can offer alternatives and do so with joy and do so in love. And
amen. We're about to run out of time. Sean, we're about to run out of time. I hate to cut you off. We're about to run out of time. I want to make sure I have just a brief moment to say thank you for what you're doing. Tell us the website that people should go to.
Absolutely. 40daysforlife.com. It's the number 40. Check out where the bus is and follow it. You can sign up for free email updates and get the stories that we see happening in our country.
Wonderful. Sean Carney's been our guest today. Pro-life hero. He's putting it out there all across the country, and he's from the great state of Texas. Hey, appreciate you, brother. We'll talk with you soon.
All right. Thanks, Jonathan.
Bye-bye. All right. We are got to wrap it up for this week. When it comes to faith, family, and freedom, this is the show you want to come to every week, the Texas Values Report. See you next Saturday from 12 to 12:30.